With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Big Brother 4 Blockumentary. We are here. It's week 8. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing well. You know, I've found my angels. We've stuck together. We're going to take over this house, get rid of all the other boys, and just power through the rest of the summer.
Why are you so evil?
You know what? I must just be evil in real life, and evil people do so much better.
There's just no good in you, Mary.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that there's no good in me. Last week, I was saying how I was, what was it, like smart and beautiful and hardworking or something. Yeah, but this week, just pure evil. And a lot of other things that I'm not going to say.
Yes. Well, we kick the week off. It's week 8 with episode 24. And I will say up front here that there's not a whole lot from the feeds this week. They actually did a pretty decent job of covering what was happening in the house on the episodes. And that's in part because there just wasn't much left to talk about. The game is slowing down here. And so we start off here, episode 24, some eviction fallout that the guys, they were blindsided to a degree, Robert more so than G. But we see again that Erica tells Jack on the way out, the boys threatened Allie and that's why she changed her vote. And Erica lets us know that she did this to kind of taint the jury, and try to, discourage them from voting for one of Robert or G in the event that one of them get there with her.
Yes, yes. She wants to try and do that because, like we mentioned last week, it's sort of weird because this is a piece of information that she had that was kind of true, but isn't really a reason why Allison would then have voted with her. It's a reason why Allison might have voted against her because the guys threatened her. But yeah, it's good to see that she's thinking of the end. I mean, I don't really think that there would be any scenario where Jack would have voted for one of these guys against Erica if that came down to it. But hey, do what you got to do walking out the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one of those things where it's like, I guess it was a nice thought, but who is she? Like, is Dana gonna not vote for one of the guys because of this? No. Are any of the Dream Team not voting for each other because of this? No. You know, this is under the assumption that Allie does head to the jury. So that means that Allie would have had a chance to tell them this herself because this is the line that she is using as well. So maybe she goes in and says, actually, that was nonsense. I was just lying about that. And I flipped because it was in my best interest. So I'm not actually sure what this accomplishes overall.
Probably not much. It's probably just kind of a moot point. It's typical Erica of being like, I'm playing this game so hard. Look at all this masterminding I'm doing. And Jack would probably appreciate that.
I mean, if she had said, I did this to discredit Allie in the jury, then that would have made more sense. Allie is the person she wants to bring to the final two, saying that her move was, you know, based on emotion and sort of like defiance rather than a strategic intent, can sort of help, you know, discredit Allie for the jury. Not that she needs it, but I can see that. But that's not what she said. She said it was about the boys.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And Robert is also just really upset with this whole situation after this vote. This is what you were implying earlier about how he was just.
Oh, no, I was just calling you evil. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure.
Here.
Right. Yeah. The girls are evil. Particularly June and Allison, they're evil, they're scumbags, they're whores, they're a bunch of sluts. And G's just sitting there, you know, international player that he is like, whoa, tone it down a little bit there.
They're evil, they're shallow, there's no good in them. I just can't believe that one of those women is going to win this game. It's just not fair. It shouldn't happen. I'm never going to vote for Allie in the end. They're so evil. The more evil you are, the better you are at this game. It's not fair. And she is just like, you know, I think Robert has some hidden anger toward women.
Yeah, it's not that hidden.
Yeah, that was my response. I was like, really? Hidden, G? Hidden?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not upset or he's not happy with the way that Robert's talking here. I think he's smart enough to kind of know, like, if he feels this way, I'm not going to be able to say anything to change that fact at the moment. It's also a little bit funny that Robert views himself, I guess, as not an evil person in any way, either inside the game or outside the game. Like, I'm not going to say that any of these people are evil, but. Like, you look at Robert, you look at his life, you look at his attitude, and you look at Erica, who's also not a perfect person, but I don't know that you could be like, oh, Erica's evil, but me, Robert, I'm perfect.
Mary, you don't understand. He's not a woman.
Right.
I think you're missing a key element here.
Oh.
Yes, Robert says he knew every question in the HOH competition, but every time he buzzed in, someone did it quicker. And this is, I believe, perhaps his way of sort of saying that he thought the competition was rigged. In fact, he, before the competition even started, was saying, now I know they've effing rigged this thing for the girls to win this HOH. You know, we were watching him look so defeated in the HOH even before the competition started. It's because he, I think, genuinely believed that there was nothing he could do to win it because it was rigged against him.
Like, this is a competition where the odds were not in his favor, but he could have buzzed in faster and won. If you felt confident that you knew all of the things that had been missing, just buzz in first, no matter what the question is, right? I mean, I don't think that there was any kind of rule that if you got one wrong, you'd be out of the competition, so you might as well do that.
Yeah, well, he did not win this competition, and June ended up winning it and then subsequently disappearing. Where did June go?
Definitely not the music video awards.
Yeah, this was actually a thought of mine when I heard Allie saying, like, where is our Asian princess? I was like, why is Allie being so nice to June when she's not there? The thought crossed my mind. I wonder if they're concerned that June is watching, like, the feeds. Like, this is a fake double eviction from Big Brother Canada, and June is now, they did in fact bring that up as a possibility. They were like, I wonder if they said to June, like, oh, you get to watch them for an hour. And so I think some of this might have been a little performative.
Yeah, there was not a lot of talk at all about June being anything anti-June during this sort of segment. I like the idea that she could have been. Well, I don't like the idea of a twist where she could have been watching them, even though different versions of Big Brother have dabbled in that in the past. But I like the fact that their minds, you know, this is season four, and that is a place where their minds went even this early on in the show. I know there's a little bit of talk from Allison, especially throughout this time, that she's upset that June could be getting any kind of information from anyone. Like, they say, oh, she couldn't go here or here because then she'd be able to talk to people, and that wouldn't be fair. And so I do think that, like, that is a big concern of theirs, and something, honestly, that this show should probably take more into account in the future.
You know, what I love about watching Allie, especially in the second half of the season, is that, you know, she's at this point like she's fully embraced her identity as a strategic player. I feel like oftentimes the thing that is frustrating when watching players in Big Brother is that they're holding on to this. Oh, we're the dream team. We're friends for life. We can't do this. We can't do that. But Allie has nobody. She has no real allies, no real friendships left in the house. She has alienated every single person. She has alienated her boyfriend at home. She is just fully dedicated now to everything I did. The reason people don't like me is because I'm strategic. And so she fully embraces that role, and everything that she does has some kind of strategic focus, whether it's a smart thing or not. And that's really, it's something that I think we haven't really seen before in Big Brother. Even looking at Dr. Will, you know, a lot of his strategic prowess was to do with like getting revenge for Boogie and like Shannon, and, you know, just kind of messing around. And then you had like Danielle and Jason, who were very strategic, but also kind of led by their hearts. They loved each other and they would never betray each other. And when it came down to Lisa or Amy, they picked Lisa instead of Amy. And that was a bad decision, but, you know, their hearts got in the way a little bit. But this is really, you know, we're seeing Allie and to June as well. But we're seeing Allie a little bit more prominently at this point. But they're both now in this house and just fully embracing the strategic cutthroat, this is a game and nothing else matters sort of thing. And not only is that cool because it's kind of the first time that we've really seen it in Big Brother, but it's also two women who are doing it, which I feel like is not something that we get enough, even though they were kind of the first to do it.
I agree. I also think that it's partially with Allison because I think she realizes at this point that she's not, if she has a shot at winning, it's going to be by convincing people that she made strategic moves. She knows that people are upset with her. She knows that she has made some social mistakes throughout the game. But the thing that she can back up is like, look, I shook up the house even when I didn't have power. I had power when I wasn't HOH. I was able to convince people to make these moves. And she's going to mention that a little bit to Robert and G later on in this episode chunk. But in June, to an extent, I think also feels that way. I think you've kind of got these girls who are, I think they recognize they're on the bottom just socially in this house, that the people dislike them. And so they've got nothing left to lose and they can be cutthroat.
Yes. And that's exactly what I mean. Where like, you know, Allie, who is at the bottom of her rope here, alienating everyone else, has now fully embraced this role. And I think it's interesting. I think it's fun to watch. And so everything she does has some sort of strategic element here. They're now going to get some clues about where June went. They go outside and there's a big apple out there, and there's a poster, a missing poster for June. And Erica lets us know, she says, I saw the missing poster and I knew June's missing.
I couldn't tell if she was saying this as a joke or if she was saying it seriously. It was ridiculous. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's missing. We've all known this.
I mean, detective work here is excellent.
Well, she has to step in and be the FBI agent now that Jack's
gone. She learned so much from Jack.
Right, right, yeah.
That's exactly what Jack would have said.
I had a hunch when I saw the missing poster. I figured June was probably missing.
Imagine if Jack had been in the house during that. He absolutely would have gone full ham with this. Like, as an FBI agent, I know exactly how to find the missing June. And he would have been like, I'm up on the clues. We know number one, she's missing. We know this because there was a missing poster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I love this competition. I think it's underreported that this, I forgot that this was the veto competition and that it also, again, happens before nominations. So doing this again. But yeah, they've got this big apple. A lot of people start thinking, you know, New York, and then they toss around a couple other more out there ideas. Did you know Washington was the apple state? Like, is that something that's common? I had no clue. I'm like, okay, sure, if you say so.
I mean, but even that, like, New York is, I think, the biggest Apple sort of, they produce the most amount of apples in the country.
Well, and then one of them is like, and I was thinking, like, wineries. And I'm like, you know, wine comes from grapes, right?
You've never had apple wine?
I mean, I have, but that is not, it's certainly not the first thing.
Wait, was that real?
I mean, like, there's wine flavored with apples and stuff. I mean, you're right. If they had said cideries, that would have made a lot more sense. But there are apple flavored wines. Sorry. I get now that you were being sarcastic with that. But the problem is, joke's on you. Apple wine is a thing.
You know, sometimes you just go for it and it doesn't land.
Yeah. Anyway, so that they, I think it's actually pretty smart that Erica and Allison start speculating on, like, possible events that are happening this weekend. That would not have been where my mind would have gone to. I mean, even seeing this like three times, I'm always so impressed when they say, like, what about like, are there any sporting events that would have happened? And I would have been terrible at this. I would have not been able to know of any kind of, like, right now, I don't know of any kind of current event, like, things that were happening. If someone's like, oh, well, of course, it's the weekend of Stagecoach, or what is that a thing? I feel like that's
yeah,
a thing. Yeah.
That's where all the Big Brother 21 house guests knew,
right,
each other.
Exactly. From. Like, I would never know what weekend that was. I can't even remember which one's Labor Day and which one's Memorial Day.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, I would have thought what events might be happening in New York, but I wouldn't have been able to name anyone, any of them.
Sure. I would have been a wild guess. I would have been like, is there VMAs? I don't know. Like, I would have just had to guess something completely random. So.
Well, like, here's the thing. Even once I figured out it was MTV, I still wouldn't have known, like, okay, she's going to the MTV headquarters in New York. I don't know. Like, I don't know about the music video awards.
I think I could have gotten New York and then some sort of taping, but then I don't know. That's
exactly. I would have been like, MTV taping in New York.
Right.
Maybe they would have given it to me. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, they all decide to wait for more clues before actually guessing.
Yes. We then get like a weird little segment about like, what would you do with the money? And I honestly didn't really find this very interesting, except that Robert wants the same car that his like lawyer has or something, and another Rolex. And Allie wants to start a family with Donnie, which is, I think, even more ambitious.
Yeah, I think they edited this okay. I think it would have been, the punchline would have been a little funnier if you do G, Erica, Allison, and then leave Robert for last, because everyone has kind of normal, want to help my family, want to build a house, pay off loans. And then Robert's just talking about like luxuries that he wants to buy. But yeah, not that interesting. They mess around with the editing a little bit there. There's a food competition, a little bit of PB&J fallout, because like we had mentioned last week, G claimed he was going to eat peanut butter and jelly with everyone, but they all know that he's been sneaking off and eating food in his room and making sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, it's always the person who like claims to be this like virtuous person. Like, oh, no. I feel so guilty. I would never, I'll eat PB&J with you guys, that then is going to not have the willpower to actually follow through.
And the thing is, he's like out there in broad daylight making sandwiches and taking them to his room. I would have probably also cheated on this, but I would have done it a little more subtly. I would have eaten only in the storage room, or I would have, you know, hidden stuff at night and then taken it to my room. I would have been more.
Well,
more subtle.
My guess is that it's like this situation, right, where he feels like he's justified. Like, oh, no, the reason I'm doing this is because, look, guys, you know, I need to, I'm going to have to compete. I need to be, you know, sharp for the competitions. And so it's fair that I should be able to eat, but he's also ashamed of it. And so like, but he doesn't want to hide it, because then like that's admitting that it's wrong, but he also doesn't want to do it like right in front of them. So he's like going to kind of obviously then take it to his room.
It's only wrong because he said he wasn't going to do it. He didn't need to say that he wasn't going to do it.
Oh, well, I'm not arguing his case in terms of it being justified. I'm trying to explain perhaps his flawed logic and why he would publicly hide his eating.
Ugh, whatever. Yeah. So they do a food competition. It's the
Big Brother ballroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not the kind of ballroom you're thinking.
It was exactly the kind of ballroom I was thinking.
That's what you think when you hear about, like, oh, let's go to the ballroom. You think
when I know that it was previously the desert room. Yes, that is also OK. What were they doing in season three where Amy like kept losing her earrings or whatever?
I feel it was something else. A bunch of soap or something.
Maybe. I feel like bubbles. It was messy. Yeah, it was like bubbles or soap or something. But it was the same sort of competition where it was a food competition that they had to do in the room that gets closed. So nothing as dramatic this time around. They got some plastic balls, like a big ball pit, and they have some that have foods on them, and they have to put them in alphabetical order.
Yeah, this was fine. I mean, whatever.
It was fine. The best part here was that none of them seemed to know what brie cheese was, and Allie keeps calling it bri cheese.
Yeah.
And they went out of their way to get lutefisk again, which was the thing that Jack ate at the clam bake from hell.
Yeah. Eric also says, you know, look, under pressure, it's hard to go through the alphabet in your head really quickly.
I agree with that.
Do you?
I have a hard time with the alphabet. When you go to a store
right,
and things
Mary,
are alphabetized.
Quickly. What's the alphabet? Go.
Well,
quickly.
I can say the alphabet, but if you're like, which one comes first?
You've already failed.
U or R, I might have, like, I'm going to have to start at P and then try to go through. Q-R-S-T-U. So U comes after. See, I wouldn't have known that, like, right off the top of my head.
They also don't need to. They were just going in order.
Right. Well, the hard part is, but it's like, if you just had one food from each thing, but it's like, real quick, is apple sauce, you know, before or after asparagus?
I don't think they did have to do that.
I think they were just
able to put all the A's and B's and C's all
together. Then that's a ripoff. This is way easier than I thought it was. Because I'd be like, it'd be hard to be, you know, you put something like, you put like celery on. And then you have chips, but like, oh, I forgot. I can't think of a food in between them. Okay, like you put cucumber on, but you forgot chips. And then you'd be bummed.
Yeah, that would happen.
Okay. Anyway, no one cares about this.
Well, they hung out in the ball pit afterward. It's a big happy family as long as they have a ball pit to play in.
Yeah, they bonded. They were doing flips. Looks fun.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then we have a little scene where Allison apologizes to G and Robert for turning on them, and they seem okay in person. It's kind of interesting though, because Allison says, you know, like, oh, I don't think I can win against anybody, and Robert kind of gives her the fake, like, oh, of course you can, but G's like, yeah, I don't think you can, you made a bunch of enemies,
yeah.
You're probably screwed at this point.
Yeah, they basically let her know that she can't win, and they even kind of imply, they go, you know, even against June, I'm not sure that you'd get the votes, which, like, again, like, they're just, it's just very outward public knowledge that Allie needs to take June to the end.
Well, and I think also telling her this up front gives her a chance to, she gets to pitch to them a little bit here about, like, why she thinks she could win. And if I was Allison, I'd be spending all the rest of the time I had with these people trying to pitch why I'm better than June in particular.
And she does spend some time doing that over the course of the week. It doesn't really go anywhere, though. And we're going to see some results of it later on when she's talking to Erica about how much she needs the money. She does that to a few different people. You know, she tells us that it's about getting Erica to take her to the end. But it's certainly also about jury votes, I think. But it's not going to be very effective. G also had an interesting conversation with Erica on the feeds where he basically told her, I'll vote for you if you make it there. Robert tells her the same thing. And they also discuss the merits of sort of floating versus being in a solid alliance, and how, you know, Allie and June were floaters. And G says he can respect the games that June and Allie played, but he does prefer his version, they missed out on a lot of great stuff, like making friends.
And that's also why they respect Erica, because even if they weren't working with her, she did stay true to her alliance.
Exactly. But again, like, they're way too open about this, because they're basically telling Erica, you can win against either of the two women that you're with. And they're giving her zero incentive to peel off.
Yeah, not what you should be doing. So I don't think that they've gotten all the way down that strategy path. They haven't lost everything like Allison has. They're not.
Well, they are thinking, like, they really feel like Allie is the person that they can get. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. They are trying to use this sort of jury vote argument to win, to flip somebody to their side. But they're just not doing it particularly effectively. And I don't think they're approaching the right people either. So we get our second veto clue. It's a videotape, a VHS videotape. And nobody was saying, what is this?
Well, I mean, yeah, this is 2003.
They have DVDs at this point, though, right?
Right. But like in 2003, some 20-somethings are not going to be confused of what a VHS tape is.
I'm just trying to make sure that we are not pre-DVD days.
No. No, I don't think so.
Because I'm pretty sure last year somebody got a portable DVD player.
Well, they also threw all those those were probably CDs. They probably wouldn't have thrown DVDs into the fishbowl back in season two.
Too expensive.
That would have been really expensive. So they get this tape, and I think it's interesting here. Allison actually does make the connection to the MTV Music Video Awards, but she doesn't know if it's in New York or not, and so she doesn't go ahead and guess that. I think it, like, if Allison had guessed at this point, I guess they still would give out the third clue just in case. It's not like the show would have just said, okay, it's over when someone gets it right. They all have to guess first.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they would have done that. I mean, they bought this massive, or rented out this massive astronaut figure. They're not going to not use it.
Right. So, yeah, the third clue is the astronaut. And this did not help me at all. Like, I would not have made the connection to MTV by this. Like, it sounds vaguely familiar. If you told me MTV has an astronaut on its logo, then that would make a connection. In my mind, even, I was like, oh, so how are they going to show music? Because I'd seen this before, but I still thought that was the last. That would have been way too easy. They just did.
I think it would have been harder.
Really?
Because how do you connect it to MTV? I guess music video.
Music video, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is there another famous music video awards?
But like, you could have easily, like, I feel like if it was just music, you could have been like, she went to a concert, the taped concert, like, right? You know.
Yeah. So I get, but you have to know that MTV has an astronaut. You know what? I take it back. I don't like this competition because it requires outside knowledge, which I don't like. I think all competitions in the game should only require game-based knowledge.
I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I think that, people have advantages in competitions all the time. Jack had a disadvantage in the cage competition because he was taller.
Well, that's just poor planning on Big Brother's part. They should have made the cage bigger.
I mean, it just happened. Like, some people are just naturally going to be predisposed to doing better in competitions than others. When Erica is a dancer, that means that she's going to have an advantage. And it's something from outside. She didn't learn how to dance in the house, right? I don't really have a problem with that. But I have a hard time even sort of knowing. Like, when I saw the astronaut, I was like, obvious, it's MTV. But I don't know if I know that because of Big Brother. I don't know which came first, Big Brother or MTV. You know what I mean? I don't know if I would have known. Like, I don't know if the astronaut is so connected to MTV in my mind because I grew up watching Big Brother 4 and seeing this connection. And that's what glued it into my mind. So now I'm watching years later and I'm like, well, obviously astronaut is MTV. I don't know if that's where it came from.
Rudy would not have gotten this.
No,
I don't even know what MTV is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love some of these other guesses, though. Robert guesses that it's Space Mountain in Disneyland, which I think perfectly fine, except for he says because of the caramel apples. And he's just guessing she's going to be videotaped during the ride. Like, also, there is a Space Mountain in Disney World. Nothing about any of this would have directed you towards that. So that's a terrible guess. G guesses, which we don't see, I guess, for suspense. Allison guesses the MTV Music Video Awards, so she gets it right. And then we don't know what Erica... Did they say on the feeds what Erica guessed?
I'm not sure they ever said. She didn't say beforehand, and then the feeds were down for the reveal, and so I don't know if she ever said on the feeds, but I'm pretty sure she just did the same as Allison. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then we find out later that G had guessed the Seattle Space Needle, which I also think is like a perfectly fine guess.
Yeah, I like this line from Allie as well when she says, you know, I wasn't concerned about Robert ringing before me. He's stupid. But I was worried about G.
Yeah, well, Robert guessed Space Mountain, so.
Yeah. So Allie is going to win the veto, and they're going to see a clip of June on the red carpet of the MTV Music Video Awards. And Robert is so jealous.
Yeah, he really is. He's so jealous, but he also keeps talking about how, oh, Allison and Erica, they're really jealous.
Yeah.
But he's also equally jealous, if not more so.
I love this line from him. He's like, Allie, we're happy for you, but this is so much more important. The people she got to meet. And we're later going to sort of find out more about Robert and why that matters so much to him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I probably would be jealous, but this is certainly not the most jealous I would be in the Big Brother house of things that people get. I feel like some of the stuff that happens in Big Brother, like sometimes when they get to go like watch a movie, just like upstairs in the HOH room, like that's kind of nice.
Oh, I feel like it's kind of a bigger deal back then. You know, this is before the age of social media, and there's a much bigger divide between sort of like the everyday person and television and like the people on television. And so the people that come on this show really feel like they're, you know, their lives are going to change. Like they're going to be famous. They're going to get to go to events like this and meet all the famous people and be a part of that crowd, you know? And so I think that's for them what they're seeing. They're like, this, like, June is being interviewed on the red carpet of the MTV Music Video Awards. Like, she's an important person now. We're important people now. Like, this is so exciting.
It's objectively a cool thing, and a lot of people would like it. I just know from my perspective, like, to give you some context, the first concert I ever went to was when I was like 22 years old. Like, I was never a big fan. It was never very important to me to go and see or be around your typical celebrities. Like, I freaked out much more when I would meet various YouTubers or authors or, you know, podcasters. Like, reality TV celebrities were so much more attainable, which is why I think I found them more interesting. And it's like, sure, I could go see Britney Spears in a concert, but like, she's not going to know me and care about me, even if I manage to get a picture or an autograph.
Well, but that's the thing. Imagine that it's not just you attending the concert, but you being a part of it. That like you go to the concert and get interviewed beforehand because people are curious to know your thoughts on the concert because you are an important person and you get a special spot in the concert because people know who you are and people are saying, "Oh, Mary, hey, we love you." You know what I mean? Like it's a different experience. And I think that's the experience that they're looking for.
So do you have any knowledge of at the time, like did that clip of June, did that air anywhere or was that just for Big Brother? Like, was that a real interview? Do people actually care?
I believe it was a real interview. Yeah.
And well, then that makes it more cool.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was just like a thing they shot for the competition.
And so when June eventually comes back, we can get to it. When she gets back, she tells them that there were people that were like screaming her name and like coming up to her and saying, "Oh my God, June, I love you." And so like, has its own problems.
Yes, it would have been very easy, I think, for any of them to scream at her, "Hey, so-and-so, you know, thought this about you." Mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, in this particular instance, I don't think there's much anybody could say that would, like, I think June's pretty tapped in with what's on the house. It's not like someone's secretly trying to betray her at the moment, really. So in this case, doesn't matter as much, but in other ones.
Yeah, like bad. Even just last season, if somebody, right. if Marcellus had gone out at the final five, into the real world and somebody was like, "Don't trust Danny and Jason. They're lying to you. They're a final two." would have changed the whole course of the game.
Yeah, really would have. But that's the end of that episode, pretty much.
Yes. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So we head into episode 25. We get some fallout from the veto competition that we're hearing. Oh, Allie was pissed. I'm sure they were all jealous, but also excited and all over the place. Robert is like, oh yeah, Allie's super pissed. But Allie's like, nah, I'm just pretending to be jealous because I want people to think that I'm not, you know, strategically focused. She's talking with Erica about like, hey, we're still taking each other to the finals, right? Allie's like, of course. But she's not actually taking Erica to the finals. She tells us she's actually taking June to the final too.
Yes. So glad to know that she's still on that plan. And we're going to get a little bit of a red herring throughout this episode as well about her other thoughts for final two, but safe to say it's not really Erica, and she just wants to set herself up for like, if Erica has the power there, that she would still take her. She's talking about playing up this anger as well, which I think it's fine, but I also feel like I think she should be trying to sway that anger more into like, we all need to be mad at June. She got this experience, therefore she shouldn't deserve to win. I would love to see some more of that.
Yeah. And I also think that, again, like she's certainly somebody who is very strategically focused, but, like most people, I think that she's probably giving herself more credit in the diary room than she should be, in the sense that like, she probably was pretty jealous. And then she noticed that people were noticing and then was like, oh, no. And then she started playing it up, you know, like, oh, well, I was just doing it for strategy.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I'm fine with. So Robert and Erica are going to talk briefly and say that, you know, Robert says that he thinks that Erica could lose to June and that he would also lose to June, which is a weird take since it's been pretty well known that he thinks that almost anyone could beat June at this point. But he does say that he hopes that if he can't win the game that Erica would.
Yes. Yeah. G and Robert are now trying to use this sort of like, oh, well, you know, the jury votes can go this way and this person might win. And they're trying to build June up as somebody that can win this game. Like, don't count June out. Because I think they're starting to see the writing on the wall that June might actually win the game. And they're trying to use that to their advantage. And they're trying to use the knowledge of where the jury votes lie to their advantage. But again, for Erica, I think they're giving too much away, that if Erica knows that G and Robert are both voting for her over June, she knows Jack is voting for her over June, and she just has to worry about, you know, Nathan, Dana, and Justin. Like, is Justin going to go a different way? Is Dana going to go a different way? Like, she's probably got these votes locked up. She probably even has Allie locked up if she ends up in the finals with June. If that's what she feels like, because Allie's been working on her so hard. So this is not giving Erica any incentive to deviate from the plan.
Do you think Allison would have voted for Erica over June?
I don't know. It depends on how it happens.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I also feel like Allison could be one of the few people who would give respect on whoever got her out.
I don't know about that.
I think it would just depend how it went down. I think if Allison would be receptive to the, like, Allison, I thought you were a huge threat, and I felt like it was a big move to take you out personally. Like, I don't know. I could see that.
I don't think she was super respectful of Dana for trying to take her out.
Yeah, well, Dana's man troll. Like, that's, I don't know. It's different. So this is where we're going to get Allison doing some more of her bonding with Erica. And she's doing this trash talking June for being so materialistic, saying June has all this money and shoes and fancy things, and that she herself needs the money more, and that someone like June shouldn't win this and stuff like that. And she says in the diary room that opening up to Erica by doing this, she hopes that Erica might have some compassion and want to take her further in the game rather than June.
Yes. And as I said, she's also doing this to G and to Robert. She's doing the same kind of sob story. It's part of her jury campaign as well. So G and Robert come up with a plan that I actually think is their best plan that they've come up with, even though it's very flawed from a fundamental level. But it's still the best thing that they've been able to come up with. So they know that Allie has the veto. So the thing that they need to do now in their minds is they need to convince Allie to use the veto, because if she uses the veto, takes one of them down, then Erica has to go up as the replacement. Then the person that came down and Allie can both vote Erica out of the game and keep the other Dream Team member in the game. And that's the only way that they can both survive at this point. The veto just has to be used on one of them. And so they go to Allie and they talk to her and they say, look, you can't win this game. You don't have the votes. It will not happen. But here's our offer to you. If you use the veto on one of us and vote Erica out with us, then we will vote for you if you make it to the end. You will have a chance at winning. It will be maybe harder for you to get there. They're not saying that. This is what they should have said. But it will be maybe harder for you to get there. This is the option that Allie has to kind of consider. But you'll at least have a chance at winning, whereas right now you do not have a chance at winning. And her response is essentially, screw off. I don't know. Don't act like I can't get there on my own. Don't act like I can't win this on my own. I don't need you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just won the veto. I don't really need your advice telling me what to do with it. It's a fine last-ditch effort. There's, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of flaws, and it's not actually going to end up mattering because Allie's not going to really get that chance.
Yeah, well, because here's the thing. If they thought about it for, you know, more than... more than 2 seconds, right? Or, you know, 2 days for how long it took them to come up with this plan. Then they would have realized that the obvious move for June is to nominate Allie so that she does not have the option to use the veto on any of them, even if she wanted to. So petitioning Allie was just, you know, it was never going to go anywhere as long as June knows what she's doing, which she does.
Yeah, maybe this was kind of my naivete or something, but I had forgotten that this was even an option. In my mind, the fact that Allie had won the veto meant she couldn't be put on the block, which is not how the veto works, but just because you can't be the replacement nominee. So I in my mind, I was like, well, we've already skipped to replacement nominee, basically. So I was actually surprised to remember that Allie does get put up so that she can't do anything with it, which is a really smart move. It also kind of saves Allie from having to make any enemies because she doesn't have the option to help G or Robert. Mm-hmm. And so she can't really hurt them. It's not really her fault.
Yeah, but she's already told them no.
Yeah, exactly. So brief segment here talking about the couples in the house and how Allie says that her and Justin were probably the closest because they just broke up 2 months before the game. Another fact I completely forgotten. I could have sworn that in some of the talk about Donnie that they said that they had been dating for like a year or more. So no wonder any of this is like a huge issue. They were just dating. That makes it so much worse. They were just dating, and somehow in 2 months she broke up with Justin, met and fell in love with Donnie and wants to start a family with him.
Okay. I didn't catch that. I feel like that's not the right timeline.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense to me, but I rewatched the clip twice, and she said She said, we had broken up 7 months ago, or someone says 7 months ago, and then she says 2 months before the game started. Those two numbers don't make sense. But I feel like I need a fact checker on this, because I thought that it was definitely not anywhere near that timeline. But maybe that was a weird Frankenbite and that didn't
Might
make any sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, if that's the case, I'm like even more confused on all of this.
Well,
but
she also talked about how Donnie has cheated on her multiple times. I don't know how he could have fit that in like a month and a half. So
right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's some overlap in here, but okay, whatever. So June comes back. Everyone's a little jealous. She talks about celebrities.
Yes. G gives her a hug. He says it was a genuine hug, unlike those other two. She talks about how a fan came up to her and said they were a big fan of the show. She talks more about this on the feeds, that like people were yelling her name. They were coming up to her. They were talking to her, that somebody came up and was like, oh no, are you out? Because they were not feed watchers. And they were just like, oh no, she's been voted out clearly. This is really, really bad. This is really bad.
Yeah, they really got to stop doing this. I mean, but it couldn't, like, were they making sure nobody talked to her on an airplane as well? Like, I don't know.
I know they were talking about like, CBS has a private jet. I didn't pay attention to the details of June. She got sick on the plane, but I don't know if it was on a private jet or if she just, I don't think they would have just booked her like a, you know, economy class ticket on a commercial airplane. I don't know.
One of the flight attendants slips her a napkin written on the back all about how Allison's going to screw her over. I don't know. Mm. Anyway. So she gets her HOH room. We get some talk about Bob, her most recent ex, who I know that you talked with her in your Taryn show interview with June. Some more about Bob.
Yeah.
So the girls all chat about how G has been spreading rumors amongst the girls to pit them against each other. And they kind of joke about how G tried to get Eric out twice and failed both times. And oh, how they laugh. June says that G is only acting this way because he really needs the money. But he's still kind of being a little transparent this week.
June says she can't risk G winning anything else. She has to get him out. And that is going to be the key here. Now, I know that this decision from June is one of the more, I think, talked about decisions that she makes as a player, that she has this HOH at Final Five and she makes the decision to take G out of the game. And this is very much on her. Like, going back to last week, the idea was that Erica and Allie would have preferred Robert to go first, but June really pushed that G should go, and she really pushed that narrative. Then she wins HOH, and she continues to push the narrative that G needs to go, and will continue to have to convince Allie to take out Robert, who is going to later in the week start thinking, maybe I think we should take out Robert, and June has to convince Allie to stay the course. So this is very much June's move to remove G from the game. And that is at least, I think, worthy of discussion, because G is obviously her ally more than anybody else. As we talked about how Allie losing Justin was kind of a blow for her, even though Justin wasn't even, her person in the house. That if G is in the game, then June can feel at least a little bit safer in the Final Four, that, you know, he's not going to take her out with the veto, and she'll probably make it to the Final Three. And then she just needs to not get to the end with G, and she probably has a chance, and G can probably take out Erica for her. She's a little, like, maybe perhaps a little bit more protected if G remains in the game versus Robert, who hates her guts. The motivation here is interesting to look into.
I think some of it really has to do with G's just back-to-back challenge wins last week. And noting that, like, from June's perspective, and I know that June has a relatively good relationship with Erica, too. If June feels like her best bets going to the end are Allison or you know, potentially being able to beat Erica in a challenge. She has to look at giving those people a chance to win something. And even if G might take her to the end over some of the other girls, because let's see, if you get rid of Robert and G wins next week, maybe G would take out Erica, but maybe he would take out Allison. And that's June's best bet at the end. So I do think here June is playing the win scenario as opposed to just the getting farthest scenario.
Yeah, well, so if with G leaving, she heads into the final four, that the she should be good. The nobody is going to take her out. The only scenario where she leaves at final four is if Robert wins HOH and Erica wins veto, or Erica wins HOH and Robert wins veto. And that would probably take her out of the game at final four. Then heading into the final three, most likely you've got either Erica or Robert having gone. You head into the final three in a situation where if it's Erica and Allie, then Erica takes Allie, Allie takes June, and June takes Allie. So she's got two out of three. If she gets to the final three with Robert, then it's the same. And she's got a two out of three chance. So then if you have G in the final four instead, I think the only situation where she goes home in the final four is if G wins the HOH and Erica wins the veto. And there's no reverse to that. If Erica's HOH and G wins the veto, then G would take out Allie and not June. And then she heads into the final three with G, then she's guaranteed final two, but she can only beat Allie. And if she heads into final three with Erica, then it's the same situation as before. So, like, looking at it that way, I think, you know, very marginally, she has a better chance of getting there with G. And I don't think that like advantage is worth the risk of how much better G is at competitions than Robert. And so I think ultimately probably the right call here.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is. I also think that by getting rid of G, it's a good thing to put on her resume. G himself is not going to be super, super angry with her since she has been telling him throughout the game, like, that they're working together, but, you know, there might be an end scenario for that if it didn't work in either one of their best interests. So I think that's an okay choice for her to make here. I think if you were someone who really, really just wanted to get to the end and didn't care if you won or not, that would be when I would say in her position, she probably should have kept G. But if you're going for the win, I think it's a perfectly good calculated risk.
Yeah. And you can say that, you know, going into next week, she gets into a situation where, like, she might have gone home. But if G is there instead of Robert, nothing is different. If G wins the next HOH instead of Robert, then it's the exact same veto scenario, except I guess G being better at vetoes might help keep June safe a little more. Again, you have that marginal advantage, but then you have to worry about G in the final three, which is, I think, too much of a risk at the end of the day. So
I'm not sure that G would have been amazing at this HOH competition.
You know, perhaps not.
Hit or miss. Anyway, so on the episode, it's now G's birthday, which threw me for a loop for a second because it's just weird seeing someone turn 24. And I'm like, it just made me feel old. I forget sometimes how young the people on the show
they are now.
Well, that helps. Yeah, that makes me feel better. He's a little down, wish that he could have spent the day with his family. And then Robert brings him a pie and we have some discussion over like what a boysenberry is. Yeah, I don't know. It made me want pie, though. At first, I thought Robert was just bringing out a thing of whipped cream and an empty pie tin was going to, like, pie him in the face. I was kind of excited for that.
Yeah.
It's the little things I forget.
Well, we then get this weird segment here with Allie and Robert where Allie says, you know, originally I wanted to go to the end with June, but I'm starting to change my mind. And I think I'd like to go to the end with Robert I'm such a big floater. I'm just floating to the end. And I think that he might be my only option because of how sneaky he is. I didn't see any indication of this on the feeds. I'm not sure where it came from. It might have just been sort of like an off the cuff moment in the diary room. Because as I mentioned before, she's actually going to later in the week push to get rid of Robert, over G. She's going to pitch to June that they should take Robert out. She's concerned about him and Erica and their relationship. And she's concerned, we're going to find out this later, in one of the episodes, that she's concerned that Erica is going to want to take Robert instead of her to the end. And so that's one of the reasons why she wants Robert gone as well. But June reminds her that G is the bigger threat, and they agree that even Erica is a bigger threat than Robert, and that Erica is actually going to be their next target if they have the opportunity at Final Four. And then later in the week, I think the day of the eviction, June actually overhears Robert and Erica talking, and that made them both consider, okay, maybe we should evict Robert if he's working with Erica, but ultimately they decided to stick with it, that G is the bigger threat. And and June also liked to remind Allie that there's no way either of them can beat even Robert, that they can only be against each other. And it seems like Allie was definitely on board with that later in the week. So again, I'm not sure where this came from Allie, but I'm not sure it really had much impact.
Yeah, my guess is it was just something brought up in a discussion in the diary room of, oh, if you can't go to the end with June, what about, you know, who would be your next choice or something like that. I think there's a lot of cases where that kind of sentence could be pulled out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the rest of the time that she spends in this week doesn't really reflect that scenario of going to the end with him. Although I could imagine if just so frustrated with Robert about something, or people would be annoyed with him, how you could start to think like, people just hate this guy. You wouldn't want him to win. But anyway, so they're going to speculate about the jury house some more. They're going to guess that Justin and Dana are probably hanging out together. And this segues into the sort of fun task where they get a video camera and some props, and they get to make a parody movie of the people in the jury house. Any highlights here for you?
Not really. I mean,
yeah. It didn't look particularly funny.
Yeah, they showed a couple of like random clips. None of them were particularly funny. And then they showed the house guests watching the same clips again, which was also not very funny. And this was really just like, okay, they've got nothing to show, and this is very filler content here.
Yeah, like there again, it's just one of these things that like probably fun for the people in the house because you're bored, but not the most entertaining TV. If this was nowadays, maybe they would release a CBS All Access bonus or a YouTube clip of like the video that they chose to make or something. Who knows? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it was whatever. Jealous of the candy and popcorn that they got to eat.
Yeah.
That's where my mind was.
Erica is going to talk to Allie, and this is when Allie starts to get a little bit suspicious. It seems that Erica says, you know, promise me that Robert will not win this game. You will not vote for Robert if he makes it there. And this gets Allie concerned that, oh, is Erica thinking about taking Robert to the end? Did she maybe have the same thought that I did, that Robert can't win this game, and that she's now thinking that Robert is a better person to take to the final two than me, and she's trying to guarantee my vote if that happens? Okay, now I want Robert gone. And so she goes and she tells June about it, and she's very concerned.
Yeah, word of advice to anyone playing this game. The way to do this tactic of trying to plant a seed for the jury is that Erica needed to have gone to Allison and said, man, Allison, you know, like, I just hope you make it to the end with anyone other than Robert, because I hate Robert so much. I don't want him to even get there. I would totally vote for you over Robert, hoping to plant the idea in Allison's head that if the reverse were to happen, that she would do the same and not vote for Robert. Don't ever talk to someone about a scenario and try to get their vote where that person is not in the finals. I think that's just like not a good thing to do while you're in the house. I think it does lead to exactly what Allison and June are going to suspect, that Erica was thinking about this. Do you have any other confirmation from the feeds that Erica was indeed planning on taking Robert to the end?
No, not that I'm aware. And she didn't even really make a deal with him. When June overhears their conversation, it's actually fairly innocent. She just kind of didn't catch a lot of it, and she heard some key words that made her think that they were making a deal when they weren't really. So there wasn't too much here that that was actually dangerous for Allie.
Yeah. So then we're gonna have a conversation with G and June, where he hopes that the alliance between them still stands, and starts to sort of talk a little bit about how, like, Robert can't stand her or Allison and is upset at them for not evicting Erica last week. And June tells G that she wants Allison out if she can get the chance to do so. But privately to us, June is saying that, like, the alliance with G is kind of on the outs.
Yeah, they really play up this storyline of, like, G fully still believing that he has this alliance with June, and then June being like, nah. Not there anymore. In reality, she was a little more open with him about the fact that he was basically going to be going home. In fact, the day of the eviction, she's like, telling him, this is your last day. Enjoy. And he's fine with it. Like, he's very much just like, okay, you know, I'm the real winner at the end of the day, 'cause I'm going back home to my girlfriend and, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. He's at peace with it. So we get the nominations, and Allie's just glad that she has the veto, so she knows that she'll be fine no matter what. And G's, like you said, hoping that he can escape the block, but we know that he knows it's the end of the line. So June is going to say that she's making this vote about how she can get votes at the end and who she might need to be there with and who she might need to be putting on the jury in order to do that, which I think is another reason to think about, like, how she got rid of G and, telling him that it's his time to go and not really blindsiding him or whatever is probably a decent check in her corner for a reason for G to vote for her over at the very least, either of the other girls.
Yeah, I mean, her handling of the relationship with G is certainly considerably better than Allie's handling of her relationship with Justin. And that makes a massive difference, because June is going to get the votes of the Stooges and Allison is not.
Yeah, exactly. So June pulls Erica's key and Erica pulls Robert. And at this point, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot Allison can be nominated here. She is going to say that G was a backseat player to Justin in his alliance, but in the past few weeks, they have seen him evolve and become a bigger threat, and that Allison is also a threat and has the veto, so she has to be nominated.
Yes.
And then she tells us, yeah, my alliance with G, it's over.
It's kaput.
Can't wait to dump him.
It's
Can't
kaput.
Wait to dump him for a second time in my life.
Yes, she's going to be the first to dump her ex in the Big Brother 4 house.
I mean, well, didn't Allie technically dumped.
Oh, no,
Justin?
She was trying to get him to stay the whole week. It was against her will.
Okay, I guess.
I mean, if you want to go that route, then you can say that that Amanda
didn't
was
David
the first.
Dump, or didn't David dump Michelle? Does that count?
Yeah, he definitely let her go. Yeah, it wasn't his preference to have her
June
go.
June is the first person to be HOH and actively try to get rid of her.
She is the active cause of G leaving, unlike David and Michelle. So we head into episode 26 and we get some fallout from this veto situation, or the nominations, and heading into the veto, where June says she nominated Allie so that she would have to use the veto on herself. This works. This works for Allie too, in some ways, as you mentioned, because she can't get blamed for not using it, but she had already kind of declined the offer. So it didn't really work out in her favor. And now she can't take them up on their offer, which, like, if you think about it, like, so when June came back into the house, the first thing she did, basically, strategically, was she talked to Allie. She was like, she talked to Erica. She's like, I'm putting Allie on the block. Like, first thing, she was like, I'm putting Allie on the block. I'll put, like, Robert next to her. And then I'll be like, oh, gee, I'm so sorry. There's nothing I could have done. And she eventually goes off of that plan, obviously, but she sticks to putting Allie on the block because Allie has the veto, and it's just common sense, right? So she knew right away that's what she wanted to do. She told Allie about it as well. But had she not thought of that, had she not put Allie on the block, it would have left this door open for Allie. And you have to kind of consider, like, would this have been the right move for Allie if she had been able to use the veto on one of Robert or G and actually take Erica out of the game here? Erica is one of the people she can't beat in the end. So it's not like she's losing out that much. And she then potentially can now win the votes of Robert and G, who, if they go to the jury house, might be able to sway Justin to some extent, who might be like, you know what? Respect on her. She saved my guys. I don't think she's getting Dana, and that might cause Justin to not go. But Justin doesn't really strike me as the kind of guy that would like listen to Dana if Dana's like, no, you can't vote for Allie. So then if she still gets Nathan, then she actually has a chance to win the game here, if that's a valid deal, which I think is the main thing, that it's probably not a valid deal, that when she is forced to take them out at four, then they probably just get just as angry and decide not to vote for her yet again. But considering the fact that she's basically drawing dead anyway, she might as well kind of take the leap, I think.
I think it just depends on... I think it's a little different between her and June. I think that unlike June, who appears to be trying to win, I think that Allison really just wants to get to the end. And I think if you have a scenario where G and Robert are together at the final four, I do think that at least one of them would probably be tempted to take the other just to remain loyal or whatever. I think when Allie ends up with the final four that she does, almost everyone probably wants to take her to the end at that point. And so if her goal is just to get to the final two, I think this was her better scenario.
Well, certainly. But I think that that's, you know, not the right call when you're Allie and you're drawing dead. And everyone has told you you're drawing dead, too. This is not a situation where, like, she might suspect that she won't be able to win jury votes. Like, every person on their way out the door has told her, you're not getting my jury vote. You are drawing dead. You can't win against anybody. She knows this. And so when you know that so concretely, I think it is worth it to make Hail Marys like this to win some votes. I mean, famously, Yule in Survivor gets his, you know, swing vote in because he made a deal like this in his game, where he spared somebody for an extra round and then managed to get their jury vote out of it. So, you know, it's something I think that would have been worth considering had she had the option, but June makes sure she does not have the option. And that's good for June.
Yeah, it is. So the guys are trying to speculate here on whether or not this was a plan. They think that Allison did look legitimately scared when she was nominated. And so they're like, yeah, if the girls planned it, that's messed up. But if they didn't, maybe we still have a chance here.
Yeah, they were talking on the feeds about, like, do you think they have an alliance? And G was like, nah, I think they just hang out. I think they're just working together for now. And so they had that conversation. But G also talks about how he feels like Allie doesn't acknowledge how much luck is involved in the game, which I think is actually a fair read. I think that most people don't acknowledge how much luck is involved in the game enough. But it's also like, you know, it's easy to bring that up when you're the one who's about to go out the door, and notably not bringing it up at other times. And Robert says that he feels like, okay, if G goes, it's okay, because I'll be in here with the other three women and I can manipulate all of them.
What? Since when? You manipulated them into voting out Erica twice, right? Like, I mean, what is this?
He's been held back by his bros, and now that he's unleashed, he'll be able to manipulate all of the women.
I would love to have the kind of confidence that Robert has about himself.
That's the thing. That's
in
the
all
key.
Areas.
That's what they said. It's all about his confidence.
I don't even know. And then there was something weird where he like asked Eric on a date.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that was about.
That was real. So. He did that. Yeah. Erica was very taken aback too. She was like, I don't think this is like the time or place, man.
Yeah. So the thing that most annoyed me about this episode is just the implication at all that Allison might not use this veto on herself. Allison is no Marcellus. And after Marcellus last year, no one's doing this.
Yeah. And she was not trying to pretend that she was not going to use. She said to, I think, June and Erica that, like, oh, I'm going to make a great speech. It's going to be great. I'm going to make people freak out.
No, I know. I mean, I'm like the show, like announcer guy, Julie, stop trying to pretend that this could happen. What? It just bugged me.
Well, that's the thing. I think Julie didn't know. I think Julie was genuinely tricked.
Julie, but like, she was so upset that Marcellus had done it last time. Or so, you know, shocked that he made that decision. Don't pretend that this is now like, oh, well, he did it, so anybody could do it. No, that he did it, and therefore probably no one's going to do it again.
Yeah, it was not going to happen. But you could see why they, like, that's the only time that the only time the veto had ever been in play that you could use it on yourself. The first time it happened at the final five, this is what happened. Nobody really expected it that time. And if you had told the viewers, like, you know, oh, just, like, he's not going to use it on himself, why are you trying to trick us, Big Brother? Then it actually happened. So, like, it's fair. I think if there's any season where this is a fair thing to do, I think it's this season immediately following Big Brother 3.
Okay. Well, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not. Allison does say she's going to surprise her house guest, but it's just like with the old switcheroo.
Yes. Erica talks about how she wants to align with Allie and bring Allie to the end, but Allie wants Erica out because nobody got mad at Erica in the game. And this is, I think, a little bit alluding to the fact that June and Allie are wanting Erica gone at 4. They don't want her in the end. Then we get the Marcellus call back and they're trying to fake us out about all that stuff. And then Julie checks in, and honestly, I did not find any of it interesting.
No, it's not. It's not at all interesting. Not any of it. So if you want to hear very bland questions, feel free to watch it.
Yeah.
So then we get a long segment on Robert's lying and exaggerating and how he acts like he knows all these famous people.
Did you hear he has contacts?
Yeah.
It's got people.
He knows Barry Drewmore, so
Barry Drewmore.
It's legit, which is clearly why he wanted to go to the MTV Music Awards.
Which, like, the similarities are striking between Robert and Evil Dick.
Yeah, I took note of that too. I was like, this feels like we've seen this segment before.
We've been talking all season long about how he's getting the daughter edit, this exact thing that happened with Evil Dick. The way that he treats women, the being sort of excused because he has a daughter. And now we're getting this segment where he's talking about all the people he knows and all his contacts. And we got this exact same segment about Evil Dick in season 8. You know, we talk about archetypes in casting, but this is very striking.
Yeah, and I guess we should be saying Evil Dick is going to get this segment from Robert, really, since Robert's the first one. But I don't buy that Robert knows any of these people.
You don't think, like, he knows Barry Drewmore?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Barry Drewmore. I think maybe some famous people have been in a restaurant that he has worked at before. But then there's like this whole question of Erica says that he doesn't even own the restaurant anymore. He's not the manager.
Yeah, he was just, he was a restaurant manager. But Erica says he was fired. And I was like, is that the job you got him fired from?
I mean, if it is, though, like, they're still calling him the restaurant manager. Like, Julie's still calling him that. Mm.
Well, G buys into it fully. He's like, oh, man, Robert, he knows so many people. He's going to get us all hooked up. It's going to be great.
Poor G.
Yeah.
I hope he never asked.
I'm going to get to meet Barry Drewmore.
Barry Drewmore's a real cool dude, so I can understand.
I'll say my favorite line. He's like, yeah, I can go to celebrities for favors. I just haven't.
Oh. Ooh, okay. Sure. Erica says she hopes that this lying is part of his game and that he doesn't have a problem in real life.
Yeah. We then get to Julie's interview with June, which I actually felt was the best one of these all season long, and very interesting considering the fact that the relationship today between Julie and June is incredibly contentious. Julie says, you've been a master at balancing several alliances, including the one with G. Basically, why are you ending it now? And June says, he's just too much of a threat. It's what I have to do at this point in time. I have to be nice to him in order to keep his vote in the end. But this is the way that I'm going. She talks about how she doesn't trust either Erica or Allie in the game, but she does trust that Allie wants to go to the end with her. So it's kind of an alliance of mistrust. And she would love to go to the end with Allie because there's not much love for her in the jury house.
I love that. An alliance of mistrust.
Yeah. Just very like very strategically oriented talk here. Very straight up and to the point. I love this from June.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. Really shows that she has a plan and knows what she's thinking about here. And I agree with you. I think it's probably one of the better ones we've gotten so far, mostly because we don't have any like, oh, so are you going to sleep with so-and-so outside the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can at least save that. So we get some jury house. Yeah,
speaking of sleeping with people, it's the jury house. And Nathan is the third wheel. And Justin is getting cardio. And I didn't need to hear that.
Yeah, didn't need to hear that. Nathan wants Allison to come snuggle with him. But, oh, they get Jack instead.
Now Jack's going to snuggle with him.
Yeah, I was really upset that they threw water balloons at him while he was reading a book.
That's what I was going to say.
That's really mean.
What? Like, come on. What? They clearly got all over his book. Like,
and I know you can dry it out, but when you have a book that's like been wet and then the pages get all wrinkly,
never the
it's
same.
Terrible. It's so bad. And it probably wasn't his book. Like, it was probably just belonged to that house, but I'm still really upset about it.
It's terrible. I don't understand what they were doing.
Yeah, I was really mad. Anyway, so that's it for the jury house. Veto meeting.
I like the start of this veto meeting because Allie makes this speech and she starts it off
with... She has a flub.
Yeah. I'm part of a team of three very powerful women.
Yeah. She should have just said, I'm part of a team of two strong women and myself is what she should have said.
Yeah, well.
But, oh well.
She trusts them so much that she has chosen not to use... the veto on G. She's using it on herself.
To the surprise of absolutely nobody.
Well, to the surprise of Julie, who was like, oh, Allie, I think the producers all had a heart attack over on this end.
Well, you know, Julie, this is your own move that someone's using against you. So.
You know who would not have been surprised by this? Who would have known what Allie was doing in this moment? Arissa Cox.
Yes.
Just saying. Just saying.
Robert's on the block now.
Yes. Robert ends up on the block. And now we have, you know, speeches and they're whatever. G says, don't give me a sad goodbye because I'm the real winner. And Robert's like, whatever. And then they vote. And Allie and Erica vote to evict G. So by a vote of 2-0, G, you are evicted from the Big Brother house. I take it as a compliment.
Goodbye. Goodbye. He's going to chat with Julie, and it's all just kind of nice.
Yeah.
She asks if he feels betrayed by June. He says no. She was always honest that she'd put him up at some point and told him he was going to go.
Business is business, she said.
Yeah. He hopes for the best for her, but they're probably not going to communicate much outside the house.
I like
and
this,
he thinks,
by the way.
Yeah.
Granted, this is coming from the guy that's like, I find my best friends forever. But I like that, like, look, they're exes. They're not going to talk after. That doesn't mean that he doesn't like her, doesn't respect her. But the just respectfully not going to have a relationship after this. And that's, I think, what everybody wants.
Yeah. And to Julie, if you try to push any of these exes to have a friendship, that's just weird and not good for anybody. Yeah. So, like, stop. This is great. Yeah. G's on the money here. He also thinks that Robert's going to go crazy. Which segues into the Julie asking him, like, if he's okay with the kind of behavior that Robert was showing towards the women and the way he was talking about them. And G's just such a good guy that he says, like, yeah, I really don't approve of that, but Robert showed me his loyalty, and so I wanted to give him respect and show it back.
Yeah, it's interesting from my perspective here that, yeah, and I'm always interested in, like, when production decides to turn on their players, essentially, because Robert has been saying bad things all season long. Many of the house guests have. And at this point in time, in particular, in Big Brother's history, they are very much protecting their cast. I think maybe in part due to the fact that, like, if they were not, then the entire cast would be canceled. Granted, it was also a different time at this point. Maybe they wouldn't have been canceled. Social media wasn't a thing, but it's weird to me that basically they decided to turn on Robert, who was basically at this point kind of the fan favorite. It seems, right? He's winning the America's votes. I mean, he's not more fan favorite than like Jack or even perhaps Erica, but I think he's certainly somebody that the audience is sympathetic toward, especially because of his relationship with his daughter. And they really just decide to go full-fledged against him this late in the game when it's a very real possibility that Robert is the winner. He comes very close. And it's usually, I think, from my read on their motivations, they usually try to avoid burying the people that they think can be a winner. They usually wait until they know that somebody's leaving to bury them in the edit, to expose the bad things that they're doing and saying. And like, I think that his tirade against the women after Jack left was probably some of the worst and most blatant he had been in terms of his sort of like anti-women stance, I guess. And so perhaps it just got to a breaking point and they just decided to go, you know what, we gotta expose this guy. But it was just very interesting to me that this was the time that they decided to do it. And now, you know, Julie is asking G about this, like this guy, he's saying these things. It's not good.
Yeah, I wonder if there was any bit about just like when they had edited together that clip that they thought maybe June would want to keep G and that Robert would be going this week, because that was right at the beginning of the week.
I guess, I mean, if they're really just not up on the feeds, like if they were really tricked by Allie, then maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it's a fair thing to ask G, who's comes across as so much more, I don't know, at least trying to be nicer than Robert, that it would be a fair thing to ask him, like, why are you friends with this canoe? So
yeah, and I think that G is probably like the least problematic person on the entire cast, or at least, you know, excluding the very early people who perhaps weren't, but I don't love his answer here either. Like, well, he was always disrespectful to me, so, you know, I'm just gonna give him my respect back. And I don't think that's a you know, a good thought process.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if G is like, look, game's still going, so I'm gonna be nice to these people on TV, but like, I'm not necessarily gonna be friends with Robert after this. I mean, G was the one of the three who was most likely to cut one of the other guys, so. I don't know. I think that some of this is just kind of like him trying to read the room and be like, I'm playing this loyal character, so I got to just play it out till the end.
Well, I think he genuinely was like, this, we're going to be friends for life. And he was like, Robert, he has this problem with women, but, you know, he's nice to me. So I don't think he thought it was a big deal.
Thanks. Anyway, goodbye messages. June said she liked working with G.
She said there was no way that I could protect you. You were too strong a competitor. Again, great goodbye messages from June all around after the first one when she finds out that the jury members see them. And none of the other ones really even have anything to say.
No, they're just like, yeah, we'll miss you. You're a nice guy. All right. HOH competition. It's the this or that fill in the incomplete statement by the jury house members.
Yes.
It Allison does surprisingly bad at this.
Is it that surprising? I feel like she's the least socially adept.
Maybe, but like, I mean, I know that this is kind of a crapshoot here. None of the questions jumped out to me as like, oh, it's definitely this.
I actually feel like, and I didn't write down the options, but I did write down the statements, but I feel like, you know, this can be a crapshoot competition, but I do think that especially back in the day here, these were questions where, like, if you knew these people, you probably had a good idea. I felt like I knew the answers having read up on the feeds. I felt like I knew the answers to all of these questions, I think, that I was surprised when any of them got it wrong, because, you know, I was like, well, don't you know this? I think maybe the Nathan question, I was a little bit like, oh, really? Or one of them, at least the Erica one. So we get, Dana was never more pissed off than the time Nathan used the veto to save Allie. Very obvious, right?
Yeah, everyone got that one right. I felt like that one was pretty straightforward.
Yes. Justin said the most shocking surprise was when Michelle was evicted. And again, if you know just if you've heard him rant about this all season long, it's not a surprising answer. Allie thinks it's when he walked in and saw Allie. And so that's a very like sort of self-focused answer, I think, to that question. Yeah,
maybe I should just say, looking at these questions real quick, it seems like Allison gets basically all of the ones right that have to do with her, or rather her answer is always going to be whichever one has to do with her. She answers these of like, what would I think? Like, what do I think is the right answer of these two? Mm-hmm. Like, what is my opinion? Which is, I guess, why she does.
Well, and she also, like, I think always overestimated Justin's, how much Justin cared about her. You know what I mean?
I mean, he wasn't getting his cardio with her.
Right. Jack says the most attractive guy in the house was Nathan. Which, again, I guess we heard this in the diary room, so maybe less so in the house, but that didn't surprise me at all. That's what I would have picked for Jack. Nathan said, Julie surprised me most when she called Allie my bed buddy, which, again, so like, yeah, he was talking about that a lot. Jack said, my biggest regret in the game was losing the HOH competition to G. And Allie gets this one wrong. Again, despite the fact that Jack spent all week long talking about how much he regretted that moment and how bad he felt about it and all of those things. But she still got this one wrong.
Any reason why she would want to throw this competition?
I can't imagine. I mean, she's pretty safe. I think she's pretty safe regardless of what happens, or she probably feels that way, that, you know, no matter what, nobody is going to take her out because they all want to be sitting next to her in the end at this point. But there's no reason to not win it, especially because she needs to bolster her, her jury credit, her, you know, in the game. So then we go, Dana said that of the exes, the hardest to picture together are Justin and Allie. Which,
yeah, like that was a really easy question.
Very easy question. Both Allie and Robert get it wrong. And I get it, because the correct answer is Erica and Robert.
Right, but you have to think from Dana's
exactly.
point of view.
Exactly. Dana is busy doing cardio with Justin. Of course, she's going to say, well, I can't see Justin with Allie. Allie is a monster. A 1.5-headed monster. I can't believe they both got that one wrong. Nathan said the sexiest person in the house was Erica. That was kind of a weird one.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I don't blame people for getting. Nobody got that one right.
Yeah, I think that was it.
I don't blame that.
Justin says that the toughest competition was Clam Bake from Hell. And Erica gets that one wrong. That one, I think, was also a bit of a toss-up. But he didn't even compete in the cage one. But I guess you could say like it was tough because he had to watch it and it was his demise. But he hated the Clam Bake from Hell, so.
I hated the Clam Bake from Hell, too.
Well, Erica gets that one wrong, and that means it's down to a tiebreaker between Robert and Erica. And the question is, how many hours has it been since the exes walked in the door, rounded to the nearest hour? And I forgot how insane this outcome is, because Robert says 800 hours. Erica says 1,440 hours. The correct answer is 1,436 hours. She was over by four.
Yeah, this was ridiculous. This is why I hate the, like, it should just be whoever's closest. It should just be whoever's closest.
It's insane. Like, this is... this is so close. And, you know, spoiler alert, but Erica does not win this game. And it's largely in part because she loses this tiebreaker.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed with this. Like, I've always been annoyed with the, like, whoever's closest without going over. But if you go over, it's whoever's just make it whoever's closest. What is the reason why you're so mad about people going over? Like, it's a rounding thing. If she had chosen to round, you know, to 14... even just to like 1400, she would have won by a lot.
My guess is that in part it has to do with that it's harder to tell. Like, if you have to like count the difference, like if she had said 12:36, and Robert had said 16:24. Then, like, off the top of your head, you're like, "Oh wait, how close is that? Which one is closer?" And like, Julie might get it wrong, and then they have to like wait and see. It's very basic math. I'm sure that people would be able to figure out if they give you like 10 seconds. But my guess is that the reason it came into existence was because it's just much more obvious. Like, you can immediately tell who has won and who has lost as soon as you hear the answer read.
I'm so annoyed.
But also, like, they know ahead of time that if you go over, you're done. So that adds an element to of strategy to it as well.
Okay, whatever. I guess. Look, Robert did not deserve this win. He guessed 800 hours. Also, like, another stupid thing you have to do in the Big Brother house, just like every day, try to remember how many hours you've been there total.
Or just be able to do like math really quick, right?
Yeah, but this is like, it's one thing to know how many seconds are in an hour or whatever, but this is like, how many hours have you been in the Big Brother house? It's day 61 or something like that?
I believe it was day 57 or 58.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean,
800 hours is just over 33 days.
Okay, Robert was way off.
Yeah. he was very off. But maybe he was going like way under just in case, because that's the strategy. This is going to come into play later in the season too. This over under rule.
Yeah, and I know that some people in the past, for various different strategies, have you know, said like zero and stuff, just either trying to throw it or hoping someone's going to go over or whatever. Although, if you're going to try to throw something by putting zero, you might as well put like 10 million.
Yes. So that's what we have for you for week 8 of Big Brother 4. We will be back next week to talk about week 9 as we head toward the end of the season. All right. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Mary is at Frail Mary. Make sure you tweet at us. Let us know what you think, how much you're enjoying the series here. Hopefully you're enjoying it. And we'll see you next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.